The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Yeah. Praise God. Well, I want to share a couple things with you this morning as we're going to move into a message, but the message will not be a long message. And say amen for that, huh? Praise God. However, Siva, she came up to me right before I came up, and she said she just felt... What was it, Stevie? You just felt the rays, the blessings of God and the healing power of God? Okay. Healing rain of God coming down. Now, that, you know, in worship, the power of God can set us free. As we worship the living God, the enemy hates it when we worship God. Therefore, it's extremely important that we recognize this ability, this weapon that we have to receive the healing power of God, the deliverance of God, whatever it is that our need is. And Ivy felt like that we needed to continue in our worship. And we're going to do that at the end of the service. We're going to... just have some more worship. Now, I want to tell you something. You can receive from God as we worship the living God. I believe that Ivy's feeling about it was it's like, you know, cooking something that you cook and the power of God just brings the impurities to the top and moves them away. I hope I explained that the way you saw it, Ivy. But I'm going to share, I believe this goes along with what I want to share with you this morning. And then we're just going to move back in. If you feel like at the end of this, my message, that you have to go, there's something pressing, you need to get out of here, don't feel bad about leaving. But I urge you to stay and receive from God this morning as we enter into His presence. Now, I got to tell you, I had been working on my message, the vocal gifts. I was going to teach on tongues and interpretation of tongues this week. And I'd been working on it all week long. I had it nailed. I was ready. And Friday night, on the way home from Bible school, I think Tammy and I was talking, and it just the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that's not the message I want you to have this week. Now, you got to understand me. That immediately stresses me. God, what are you doing? I've been working all week on this message. I'm doing what I feel like you want me to do. And it's not that I'm out of His will. It's just that He has another direction for us today in this service. And He does this to me from time to time. Part of it is so that I will continue to learn and grow in my obedience and trust in Him. Because I really should not be stressed about God saying, you have a new direction. If God's saying that I have a new direction, then He's in control of it. And I should be able to just accept that and move forward. So I want you to know I'm working on that. Constantly. I love God. I want to serve Him, and I want to hear from Him, and I want to be obedient. So this morning, I'm going to share some things briefly with you, but some things that I believe is very important, and then we're going to finish our service again with worship. So this morning, I want to talk to you about God is. Anna, excuse me. And I want to talk about four character traits of God. Now, these are not all the character traits of God, but these are four that I want to share with you this morning. God has personality. His personality is perfect in all its ways. If we can learn God's personality, we can walk in this spirit walk that I've been talking about much more effectively. We can recognize what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is okay, what is acceptable, what sometimes is not acceptable. But we must understand that we have a good, powerful God. And I want you to know more than anything this morning as I talk to you, I want you to know God cares deeply for you. And the first character trait that we're going to look at this morning is that God is love. He is. But I want to read something to you before I get started that it was written by a man by the name of Nicholas Van Hoffman, but I heard Adrian Rogers use it in a sermon, and I always liked Adrian Rogers. He was Baptist, but man, he was Spirit-filled Baptist, I'm sure of that. Just some of the things that he did and said. But God used him in some incredible ways. Here is what Nicholas von Hoffman said. He said he talked about the mush God. He said the mush God has been known to appear to millions on golf courses. He appears to politicians at ribbon-cutting ceremonies and clergymen speaking to the invocation on national TV at either Democratic or Republican conventions. The mush God has no theology to speak of. Being a cream of the wheat divinity, the mush God has no particular credo, no tenets of faith, nothing that would make it difficult for believers and or unbelievers alike to lower one's head when the temporary chairman tells us that reverend rabbi, father, or cleric, or so-and-so will lead us in an invocation. Harmless, harmless prayer. For this God of public occasions is not jealous God. You can even invoke him to start a hookers convention, and he or she will not be offended. He's the God of the Rotary, the God of the Optimists. He's the protector of the buddy system. The mush God is Lord of the secular ritual of the necessary but hypocritical forms and formalities that hush the divisive. The hush God is a serviceable God whose laws are chiseled not on tablets but written on sand. Open to amendment, qualification, and erasure. This is a God that will compromise with you, make allowances, and declare all wars holy and all places hallowed. This is the mush God. This is not our God. Our God is strong. Our God is powerful. Our God does have expectations. He does have guidelines and rules. If you will. I know in this world that we live in, nobody wants to hear that religion is supposed to have rules. But there are rules. There are rules for following God. There are rules for accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's rules for being a believer in Jesus Christ. They're not hard and harsh rules. Sometimes they're much easier than the religious formalities that are set up by man to try to reach God. But they are rules. And as we seek to follow a living God and we try to understand His character, it's important that we understand right off the bat, God is love. He loves you. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love is deep, it's wide, it's strong, it's incredible. Nothing can penetrate God's love. God loves you more than anything in all of his creation. He loves people. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Romans 8:28 says this, I am persuaded, and I want you to know this. This is reality. I am persuaded that there is neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. The next verse. Nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate you from the love of Almighty God. This morning, I want you to know you are loved. You are loved by a living God. You are loved by the Creator of all things. I don't care what the world has told you. You are loved. God loves you. God wants you to know that you are loved by Him above all other things, by a magnificent living God. We must embrace the reality of the love of God in our lives. We must know God's love is powerful, it's incredible, it spans the space of time and eternity. He will always love. Now, I want you to understand something. God's love is not a pampering love. It's a perfect love. It's not a love motivated by man's will, but by Heavenly Father's plan for your life. His love sometimes would take you in directions that make you uncomfortable. His love for you will cause you to step into areas in your life that you feel like you can't handle. Because His love wants you to depend completely and totally on Him. His love. That's why I'm sharing this message with you this morning. Because His love wanted me to be obedient to Him. For my benefit and for yours. So that this whole service is designed by God. One of the next thing that we're going to talk about is mercy. I did not share this with Otis and Ivy, but yet we sang a song about the mercy of God. Amen. God designed this service this morning. Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day, the mercy of God. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is compassion. It's kindness. It embraces those who are downtrodden. According to Easton's Bible Dictionary, mercy is compassion for the miserable. Hallelujah. If you feel a little miserable this morning, God's mercy is all over you. It's there. It's present. David wrote in the Psalms, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. When we trust in the mercy of God, we can't miss. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Love that scripture. His mercy is everywhere, all the time, wherever we are. Now, I want you to understand something. David knew something about the mercy of God. He was a shepherd boy, taken out of the sheep pen and placed in a position of royalty to be the king over Israel because of the mercy of God. Because God was in control, not man. When man was in control, they wanted somebody else to be their king. But God had a plan. And he placed David as the king over Israel. When God passed before Moses, Moses was called up into the mountains to commune with God. And God passed before him, told him to cover his eyes so that he wouldn't see his face and not die. And here's what it says in Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. God himself says this about him, about his character. Your mercy reaches into the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds, the psalmist wrote. David wrote this not long after he had committed a horrible sin with Bathsheba. And yet, he was able to say, God's mercy is present. God's mercy is there. His mercy, remember, his mercy endures forever. It doesn't matter what you are experiencing, God's mercy is there. Second, or the third thing I want to share with you is grace. Characteristic of God is grace. I think grace is probably one of the most misunderstood words in the whole Bible. But it's very important. One of the definitions I'd always heard from about grace is unmerited favor. A Bible dictionary says that grace is accessed, is not only unmerited favor, but it is also accessed by faith. God has given us the ability to receive all things through his grace. We're saved by grace alone, by Christ alone, by faith alone. It's incredible, the process. But unless we operate in faith, we're not going to receive the grace of God. So as God has bestowed his grace on you, whatever you're going through, whatever is happening, God bestows his grace on you. You must grasp it, hold on to it, cling to it with faith, believing and trusting your heavenly Father. That's the kind of God he is. In Genesis 6:8, it says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. Noah found grace in the eyes. Now, why did he find grace? Because he was a man of faith. He believed that God was going to send a deluge upon the earth. He believed that God, when God told him to build an ark, that he should build an ark. Build an ark on dry ground. Because God had spoken. Why did he find all this grace? Because he faithfully believed living God. He wasn't a perfect man. Right after the flood, he got drunk and was acting crazy. Yet, I want you to understand that. You're not perfect. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to do some things wrong. I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm just saying we are not perfect people. But God's mercy, his grace, and his love are perfect in all their ways. Abraham found grace with God because of his faith. He was an idol worshiper to begin with. And now he's considered the father of faith. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, see the grace of God being poured out on anyone who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's putting our faith in action. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God to us. Now, I also mentioned that God is a judge. Judgment is part of what's going to happen in the future. All people are going to be judged. And we're going to be judged on whether we have put our faith in Jesus or not. Revelation 20:15 says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Excuse me. You see, there is judgment coming. I do not want anybody to go to the lake of fire. God does not. He made a way for us. But by faith, we must receive the love, the mercy, and the grace of God to escape the judgment that's coming and to live a believer's life as an ambassador for Christ until Jesus returns. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Have the worship team come back up. And we're just going to go back into worship. And we're going to let the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, minister to us this morning. And allow the power of God to be released in us. Now, before we do this, I want to ask, is there anybody in here that has not made a statement of faith to the Lord and you'd like to do that? The Bible tells us if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. If you've never done that, it's a simple process. You trust God. You recognize that you're a sinner, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you need a Savior. You confess the Lord and believe in your heart, and it's done. Praise God. It's supernatural. And you're filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone in here this morning that would like to receive Christ? Okay? All right. The other thing I want to mention to you is that maybe you feel like you've just strayed from the Lord. This morning as we worship, I want you to allow God to speak to your heart. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with whatever issues it is. You know, when it comes to recommitting your life, it's something that we all do or have to do from time to time. And this is going to be a great atmosphere for that this morning. Just say, God, you know I haven't been serving you with all my heart, soul, and mind, but I'm making that commitment once again. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do everything I can to build your kingdom in this earth. Hallelujah. Let's worship living God.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.